Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast. I am Stephen Diener, Karen Curtis over there on this 15th adventure of UAP. I mean, overall, I know we're in season two, it's episode five, so the numbers get kind of weird, but that's neither here nor there, because today, Karen...
Yes.
First of all, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good. We have a lot to get to when it comes to South America and strange happenings, reports of UFOs, UAPs, and even extraterrestrials themselves on the ground in front of witnesses. This is a story that we're going to get to today toward the end, because we try to save the best for last, and it's all great. I mean, you know.
Oh no, this is juicy. You want me to give you a little tidbit?
A little tidbit, yes.
Oh, get ready.
It was like a little person, but with no hair whatsoever, red eyes, and three horns.
So that's going to be coming up later in the episode. It's
what?
The most famous sighting in the history of not only Brazil, but possibly South America.
And this was something crashed and they were like wandering around out of the wreckage?
Yeah, so it's a wild story.
Three arms. Usually you hear they have three fingers, not three arms.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
They were sweating. Anyway.
That's the Varginha incident, or Varginha, however you want to say it. But you'll see, or you'll hear anyway. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But first, Karen, I know we have a lot here when it comes to South America today. This first one goes back to 1980.
Right.
In Peru.
A Peruvian fighter pilot. So he's actually literally gets into a dogfight with UFO. I guess there's like 1,800 people at this base in Peru, and they all see this thing. Okay, so you have an interpreter here. The pilot obviously speaks. What do they speak in Peru? Peruvian?
Peruvian. It's a form of Spanish.
Okay. Well, here's a little tidbit.
Soy Oscar Santa Maria Huertas. Oficial piloto de la...
I am Oscar Santa Maria Huertas, a pilot for the Peruvian Air Force. Right now, in retirement.
So he's the guy.
Right, that's him.
And in 2008, he was in Los Angeles, and he wanted to prove the facts of his experience in 1980. And you know what was weird? The U.S. government got a hold of his sighting, which at the time, Peru was kind of under the purview of the Soviet Union.
Right, right. So, because you know, you're talking 1980, so it's during the Cold War. And right, like you said, you know, what is the U.S. government doing in Peru with basically a Soviet ally, so to speak?
Yeah. So here is Oscar Santa Maria describing in Peruvian what happened.
El 11 de abril de 1980.
The 11th of April of 1980.
A las 7 y 15 horas de la mañana.
At 7:15 in the morning.
En la base era
at the air base of La Jolla in Peru.
Los 1,800 hombres.
1,800 military people in charge that day.
Observaron al final de la pista.
They observed at the end of the runway an object that looked like a balloon.
No tenía permiso.
That didn't have authorization to fly in the area.
Suponíamos que podría ser un aparato espía.
And they thought it was an spy.
El comando de la base.
A commander gave him the order to take off and destroy the object right away.
They thought it was a spy.
Right. So, you know, at that point, again, you have to remember the time frame here,
right.
1980, you know, Cold War era. And so you're thinking, you know, okay, this is a spy plane. You got to get up there and shoot it down. And that was the order. Get up there and shoot it down.
But it turns out, you know, it wasn't a balloon. This guy, Santa Maria, fired like 64 rounds from his 30-millimeter cannon, and the bullets passed right through the object.
Right, right.
And so it wasn't a balloon.
No balloon. No fragments of a balloon were found.
It didn't explode.
Right, nothing exploded. And so that means basically he's pursuing this thing, okay? So Santa Maria's up there in 1980. He's flying his Peruvian fighter jet, And it was too evasive, though. He couldn't get to it.
He said it was like Top Gun.
Right.
It was like flying. Every time he approached it, it would like zig and zag.
The amazing thing about this, too, Karen, is this was, of course, a classified type thing. And this was, like you said, investigated by the U.S. government from a Soviet ally, so to speak, you know, at least under Soviet, you know, control, Peru at that time. And they realized, okay, look, this is a guy that, according to our investigations, is credible, has a lot of, you know, flight time and hours and things like that. So this wasn't any joke. This wasn't just like, you know, some guy like, hey, I'm going to play a trick on you guys. It was taken very seriously by the U.S. government, so much so that the documents were classified until recently when they started opening some of these things up.
It wasn't a balloon because balloons don't act evasively also,
right.
But the UFO that was sighted in Peru, it reached the highest level of the U.S. Defense Department.
That's right. They did. They actually, what's the word I'm looking for, debriefed. They went to the CIA, it went to the DOJ,
yes.
All these
Joint Chiefs, everybody.
Right.
And so how did the U.S. government learn about it? And this is what Santa Maria speculates.
La comunidad de inteligencia entre los estados intercambian información.
Oh, really? It's a close community between countries and the air forces. So they communicate with each other and they let each other know.
They're like, hey, do you know our guy saw something? And the Peruvian government opened in 2001 an investigation into his case because they call it the most credible, unresolved UFO case encounter sighting in the country's history. So that's pretty heavy duty.
It's an incredible story, really, because you talk about, again, and we've talked about different things with, you know, credible witnesses, military members. We always try to find stories that have credible witnesses,
yes,
right?
Yes,
we don't want
to decide.
Yeah, exactly. At least we can say, okay, look, here is this guy that was trusted by the military, that was trusted by the U.S. government when it came to his military experience. And it's not like we're talking to, you know, Joe Schmo out in the, you know, the backwoods somewhere. These are people who have trained experiences that, you know, to tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong. And is that an airplane? Is that a spy plane? Or is that something that I can't explain? And that's why with this guy and every, you know, a lot of other witnesses that we talk about throughout the history of the show, it's really intriguing because he's talking about being in a dogfight with another craft and it just kept going higher and higher and higher to the point where he couldn't chase it anymore. So what is that?
I don't know. And what's interesting is that it did make its way to the highest echelons of the U.S. government and into a document, a report that actually exists. You can see it at our website, 850WFTL.com.
That's right. Yeah, we'll have the picture up there, 850WFTL.com. Just search UAP, and you'll see the blog page come up there for UAP. We'll also have all the other episodes, if you've ever missed any, if you want to catch up. There's some doozies.
Oh, my favorite one is the Dolce Gabbana one.
Dolce Gabbana. the Dulce base in New Mexico.
Big time.
That's right. So that's actually, and thank you, by the way, I should say this too, Karen, to everyone who's been listening and consuming the show. We really appreciate you. We've noticed actually that Dulce base war episode is one of the most popular ones that we've done.
Yes.
So, it's insane.
It is insane.
So if you want to hear that or any other episode, and of course see the pictures from today's show or any other show that we've done in the past, 850WFTL.com, search UAP, or any other episodes are also on Apple and Spotify and anywhere else you find your podcasts. So,
all right, well, staying in South America and moving on to Chile,
we have
Corporal Armando Valdez. What happened in April of 1977 in Chile?
Yeah, so going back in time here a little bit because we started in 1980.
Ooh, lost time.
And now, well, actually, yes. There is a lot of lost time in this story. So if you've never heard of lost time before, it's something that a lot of abductees refer to once they're abducted, at least in their encounters and the stories that they tell. They come back and they can't account for lost minutes, hours, in some cases days.
It's like being in a coma.
That's right.
And you wake up and go, what day is it?
They have no recollection, and you end up hearing about a lot of, you know, hypnosis where they do backtracking and they go under hypnosis to remember everything. So in this case of another, again, military of a Chilean, was it a corporal, a colonel, I believe?
Yeah, it's Chilean Corporal Armando Valdez.
Yes.
He was abducted. He comes back 15 minutes later, but really it was not 15 minutes later.
So here's where the story gets strange, and it's really, I shouldn't use the word unbelievable because, well, I should say what's fascinating about this story is the amount of witnesses, because you have witnesses, military members who are out there. His group, essentially, his troop was out there with him, and they all see this strange light in the sky. They go to investigate it, and all of a sudden, he vanishes.
Whoa.
And they're all looking at each other like, where the heck did he just go? where's the corporal? He's gone.
Huh.
So they end up finding him, Karen, 15 minutes later, okay, away from where he vanished. But here's where this gets strange. It's not like he just disappeared or reappeared like a magic trick 15 minutes later.
I thought it was 5 days later.
That's the weird thing about this. 15 minutes goes by for the guys on the ground.
Oh, wow.
But when they discover him, he now has a full beard. Okay? He was cleanly shaven on that night. They find him 15 minutes later with a full beard, and his watch says that it's 5 days later.
Whoa. Okay, wait a minute. I'm bending spoons with my mind now.
Okay. So is he time traveling? Did he go
like
through
it.
Some type of space-time continuum, a rip in the, you know, a wormhole? I don't know. You know, any type of crazy theory you want to use. But
he went to the Rogaine factory.
Maybe. Where you have this beard growing out of nowhere. So, and he has fully admitted before that, yes, I was clean shaven. Again, this is somebody who's a skeptic. This is somebody who's in the Chilean army, who's a corporal, okay, in the Chilean army, who has men under him.
Right, so he's okay? Like a leader.
Exactly. So what are they supposed to think? Now they're looking to him for answers. And he's under patrol. And when he gets back, here's what's really strange about this, and this might give you chills, actually, because it's really odd.
Okay.
When they find him, they're obviously asking him questions. You know, corporal, what happened? What happened? The first thing he says to them, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. He says the sentence, "You don't know who we are or where we come from, but we will be back soon."
Whoa, what does that mean?
What?
That's interesting.
What is that? That's the first words he utters 15 minutes later to them, 5 days later to his body and to his watch. So where did he go? Where was he for, I guess, 5 days? And how is it only 15 minutes? On Earth.
So the Army Patrol saw two bright objects descending in the sky. He disappears. When he comes back, he has a full beard. His watch is like advanced 5 days. And he says, "You don't know who we are or where we come from, but we will be back soon."
We will be back soon.
Yeah, this is actually in the area of Pampa Luscuma.
Right.
Near Putra, Chile.
Right.
Which means nothing to me. But anyway.
If you want to look it up on a map.
Yeah. There. So what do you make of it? I mean, for them, it was just 15 minutes. So maybe he went somewhere. I think everything is about time.
Yes.
I think everything in the universe is about time.
Well, for Corporal Valdez, and that's a good theory, and time is, I guess you could say subjective. And maybe we can do a whole different episode on Edgar Casey one time. But
love him.
Just use an example. Edgar Casey, if you don't know, was a famous American psychic in the early 20th century, excuse me, and had a lot of different readings. There's a whole library dedicated to Edgar Casey in Virginia, I believe.
I think he was more accurate than Nostradamus.
It's unbelievable, the stuff that he came out with. Yeah. And we talked about remote viewing last week, or I should, you know, on the last show anyway. Where, you know, he had a guy who worked for the Army. He claimed at least worked for the Army and had remote viewing of different military bases and saw aliens and things like that.
Who's the old lady who got caught up in a dust storm and lost her sight? But
Baba Vanga.
Baba Vanga.
Yes.
Love Baba Vanga. She's another one.
Yes, a prophesier, if you will, a seer. And but for Edgar Casey, the reason why I bring him up is, you know, again, a lot of different stories revolving around him. But maybe we'll dedicate an episode to him because he's a fascinating person. But he said before in interviews, you know, they asked him about time. How do you see these things in the future? And the way he described it was, to me, it's not the future. To me, time is just, it's not linear is the way he described it. It's not here's here and here's what's in front of us. It's all happened at once. So for him, the way he described it was, he's able to look, we call the future, but he's just looking at what already has happened or happening.
But he's saying the future's also already happened.
Right.
And we're just at a snapshot in time somewhere within that.
His description was, we can't understand how time actually works. Our brains are not able to understand it. So even he was a religious man. So he said God created the construct of time to basically help us keep it in order because we can't comprehend what it actually is. That's how he described it.
It's not finite time.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So when you look at, and we just got really deep. I'm sorry.
Whoa, rabbit hole.
Take a breath there.
Where's the white rabbit with the watch?
Take a breather on that one. You can see why we want to do a whole episode on Edgar Casey one day.
That is so cool.
So when it comes to this question of this case in particular of Corporal Valdez in Chile in 1977, how is he gone in his time, in his body? Physically, Karen, he's gone for 5 days because his hair has grown. His watch has shown 5 days difference, but for his troop, they show, we've been looking for you for 15 minutes. Where'd you go? So,
and he has no recollection of what happened?
He believes that he attributes it to a religious experience.
Okay.
He believes that he was taken by angels or some type of heavenly body having to do with God or heaven, and that's the way he looks at it. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
Maybe it was Jesus. We'll be back soon.
I don't know. But the fact that he utters that sentence, it's so eerie, isn't it? He utters the sentence. The first thing he says, it's almost like he's under mind control at that point.
You don't know who we are.
You don't know who we are or where we come from, but we will be back soon.
What does it mean?
Unreal. So that is the story there of Corporal Armando Valdez of Chile.
Love it. And finally, this is the weird one. Well,
right. This is the weird one. Imagine.
Yeah. Again, how can it get any weirder than that one?
Unreal.
So as you heard at the top.
It was like a little person, but with no hair whatsoever, red eyes, and three horns.
All right. So these are the holy grail of UFO and alien witnesses that you're about to hear from.
Yes.
And this is also in Brazil.
So this is referred to as the Varginha incident in Varginha, Brazil. And so much so, Karen, I mentioned at the top of the episode, at the beginning, that this is the most famous case in the history of Brazil, maybe in the history of South America. It happened in 1996, and it's so famous, they made movies out of it.
Really?
In South America. They made video games out of it. If anybody's familiar with the old, like, mid-90s computer games like Doom and things like that, it kind of looked like that. So they have statues in Varginha, Brazil, dedicated to this alien that was reportedly seen by these three witnesses.
So with three arms, no hair, and red eyes?
No hair, the way that they describe this. So basically the story is, I'm getting ahead of myself. Three women, at this time there were three girls, about middle school age. They were out in, you know, the Brazilian, not the forest, but, you know, outside on the outskirts of town.
They were actually heading home, but in a different way than they usually go.
Right. And again, this happened back in 1996. And they say that they saw something that they never forgot. They, again, attribute it, some people attribute it to religious experiences. They think they saw the devil. They ran home, because on their way home, they look over and they see this gray skulking body. Think of Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
This gray skulking body. And well, again, we'll have the picture up of the description because it's a very famous picture. So you can see it at 850WFTL.com. Well, search UAP. And the way they describe it is red eyes, three kind of like, not really horns, but almost, how do you, like, tiny mohawks, like mini, think of a mohawk,
yeah,
but it's cut. So like three of those on its head.
Like three fins or something.
Right. And like you said, you know, more than one appendage, three fingers. They said it looked sick, like something was wrong with it.
So there was some speculation that there might have been a crash?
Yes. So they figured that, okay, this thing must have crashed somewhere, it's injured, but it turned around and looks at them. And they get freaked out, of course, and they run home screaming and crying and telling their mom, because they're sisters, telling their mom, we saw the devil, we saw the devil.
So this was back in 1996, and here are the women, now they're adults,
right,
describing what they saw.
A gente estava voltando do serviço que ela trabalhava.
So it was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This was not the usual way that they would take to go back home.
E olhei, falei assim, só para ela assim, gente, olha ali.
She saw a little creature that was really sweating.
It was like a little person, but with no hair whatsoever, red eyes, and three horns.
She pointed to the other girls and started running the other way. They said it wasn't a good experience at all. if they could choose, they wouldn't go through it again. And only people who have been through what they have been through can tell how they felt and how it all affected their lives.
It did.
Gosh.
I mean, it affected their lives in a negative way.
Right.
People thought they were crazy.
Right.
Here's what they said.
She said it affected everything, like from friendships to work to school, people getting away from them, people thinking they were, you know, crazy or something.
Alguém pode chegar, não, foi assim, pegamos e levamos para tal lugar.
She just says that she hopes that one day the whole thing will come clear and she will, you know, her word will be taken seriously and they'll know that she was always telling the truth.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it got so bad for them that one of the sisters at one point even recanted the story.
I'm sure. How many people have seen things and they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be perceived as nuts?
Right, and it has ruined their lives, really. I mean, they live with that sight in their minds and they live with the stigma of you're the three crazy girls who saw the alien. And eventually one of them, because she couldn't take the pressure anymore, said, okay, it didn't happen. But then the other two kept to their story and eventually the third sister came back to it and said, yes, it did. So, you know, again, it's the most famous case in Brazilian history. It's kind of like their Roswell. It's their, you
know.
Got
it.
So that's basically their version there. And again, so much so that they have statues erected and dedicated depicting this alien. It's fascinating. And you feel for these women. We'll have the video up even if you want to see them to kind of maybe you can get a read on them if you think they're lying. But I know when I watched the video of their interview, I felt bad. Like, you can tell they're in pain.
But it's interesting when there's one person that sees it, but when there's three and their story's the same.
Right.
That's a little bit hard to discredit.
And it has been for over 20 years. Their story really hasn't changed.
I just want to point out that Stephen, the reason why we're doing this podcast, has kind of for years been interested in the topic. And then, you know, the government came out with its report recently that validated like 150 sightings. And the report is amazing. And Stephen had been chronicling different things. He has a whole list of stuff.
I do. It's true.
Like, amazing list that he's kept over the years that we're going to actually delve into for you. And so this isn't just like a whim off the cuff thing for him. He's been preparing for this podcast for years.
I didn't even know I was preparing for it.
Yeah, he was preparing for the podcast before podcasts existed.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and like you said, thank you, Karen. I appreciate it. But it is. It's something that I've been, I guess, an enthusiast about when it comes to, it's just the mystery that gets me, like the why, the who, the what, the where, the when. What is the purpose of all this? Who are they? What do they want here? What are they doing here? And, you know, what? And even if you go real deep here, the religious aspect, you know, were they created by God? Were they created by the devil? I mean, I don't know. Like, there's different things that I wonder so much about aliens and UFOs in different worlds and what is known already by different governments around the world. What kind of cooperation has there been that we don't know about? And so there is so many questions in my mind that over the years, probably I would say over the past 6 years or so, I just started taking notes of everything I would come across, and I didn't really know why. I was like, I guess maybe one day I'll write a book. And then thanks to Karen, came to me and said one day, you should do an alien podcast. Because if you don't know, we're on the South Florida Morning Show together with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on 850 WFTL. That's every morning, Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. And we would talk about aliens on there sometimes.
And Jen be like, oh, no.
Right. Oh, here we go again.
Not again.
Especially when Congress was coming out with a report. That was a national story. So that was something that we were talking about.
And when Tucker Carlson said they're real, I went to Stephen. I went, I know you're a smart guy, but now I think it's what you're talking about is valid.
Yeah, you know, it started coming out as far as big national news, you know, syndicates were picking up these stories. So Karen came to me and said, you should do a podcast on this. And I've always been more into sports and things like that, which I still am, and I have podcasts on all that.
You're the sports director.
There you go. So, but I'm glad you said that, because this has given me the opportunity to kind of use this outlet and go into my notes. Again, I never knew what I was taking them for. I just knew that I wanted them there so I could use it for something someday. I didn't want to forget this information.
Well, now they're very valuable, because I really don't know how many other people have gone to the... You have like an eidetic memory, and you're just very... You're smart about a lot of things. And so you wrote all this down for a reason, and you have it. You have it chronicled, and we're going to piece by piece go through it.
Yeah, so the series of UAP is not ending anytime soon, is what we're we're trying to say.
No, he's got a lot of stuff.
There's a lot in there, so stick around because there's a lot to get to here as we go through every week. But thank you to you, Cameron, for coming up with the idea because, you know, we appreciate everybody who's been listening and who enjoys the show. Again, if you want to go back to any other shows, 850WFTL.com, search UAP, or it's all over Apple and Spotify and all that good stuff as well. So it's been a lot of fun. 15 episodes in. It's pretty wild.
It really has. I've learned a lot, I'll tell you. You had some more research, and when you were doing these three stories, you came up with some more information about another story. Someone said that there were aliens wearing silver metallic suits.
I'm glad you bring that up because it really struck me when I was doing the research for this episode. Because remember last week on episode 14, we talked about, you know, all the different things when it came to USOs, unidentified submerged objects.
In Autech off of Florida.
Right. You know, underwater bases, all that different type of stuff. And at the very end of the episode, we played, I think we mentioned him earlier in this episode, we played the guy who said he worked for the military and said that he has done remote viewing for years for the military. And he would look at different bases around the world and give them spy information. And he talked about AUTECH, which is a secret underwater military installation off the coast of Florida. And he said he has done remote viewing in there before, and he's seen aliens in their ships wearing strange metallic suits. And
they weren't sweating, kvitzing, spitzing,
no,
with red eyes and three arms.
No, not this time. But he said that, and so that kind of stuck with me from last week because I thought that was kind of interesting. And then as I'm going through the research for this episode that we just went through, I'm hearing all these different abduction stories. And one of the things I kept hearing from the abduction stories was they talked about the aliens were wearing these metallic suits. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right.
That
it's
connects.
Confirming, right.
Yes. You have someone talking about an abduction from 40 years ago saying the same thing that a guy said he saw in remote viewing 30 years later. Was like, whoa, this is weird. You have the same description from two totally different people in two totally different time periods. It's really odd. So I just, you know, that connection
like pyramids
popped into my head.
In South America looking like pyramids in Egypt. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
Like, whoa, what's going on?
I mean, in any criminal case, and you know this because you are very much into true crime with your Full Rigor podcast, which does very well, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But when in any criminal case, if you have corroborating witnesses at different parts, at different times, tell you the same thing, that's usually pretty what they call damning evidence.
Well, actually, it's usually rare to have witnesses come up with the same thing. Like, they'll say, did you see the witness? Did you see the suspect? And like, oh, yeah, he had a blue sweatshirt on. No, it was gray. No, he was 6 feet tall. No, he was 5'7". You know,
right.
It's all over. And that's how you know they're real, because usually they are all over the road. But this is the same, metallic suits.
Right, you tall beings, skinny, the big eyes. They're
right.
Always described the same way by people who say they've encountered aliens through, you know, remote viewing or in person through abductions. It's makes you wonder, and that's what we're here to do. We get your mind moving.
Yeah, exactly. We're not trying to force feed you. We're just giving you information, and you decide.
That's right, and that's what we do every week, and we'll do it again next week too.
And what are we doing next week?
Well, I went into my treasure trove of notes, Karen, and I found a couple of things that intrigued me, and it made me think. How much does the military know, the U.S. military that is, how much have they been working with aliens, supposedly, with other beings from other worlds, and what aren't they telling us as far as protocols go? Like, are there actual instruction manuals?
Yeah, what if you run into a downed alien craft? Who do you call?
Well, we're going to tell you all about that next week because there is something called, just a little teaser here, something called Air Force Instruction 10-206.
Oh, dear.
So we're going to get into all that next time on UAP. So make sure you download, subscribe, rate us 5 extraterrestrial stars, as Karen likes to say. Apple, Spotify, 850WFTL.com, podcast1.com. All the places to find the podcast.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
That's right.
We hope you do too. Our numbers are going up, 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 and we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much. So get to that and much more as we go on during this incredible journey of UAP on the Unidentified Alien Podcast. Stephen Diener here, Karen Curtis there. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening.